Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. We are broadcasting live today from on Green and Hotel in Bird. And the one thing that we have learned so far today is that the broadband stroke internet coverage can be somewhat hit and miss. So we really do appreciate those of you who have bared with us in doing so. We are at a Change Makers event here. It's Change Makers Donegal, and we are outside the main room here in on Green on Hotel, and it's packed, and we're going to find out why so many people are here on a Friday morning. So stay tuned for that. As I say, there'll be some interesting conversation. A caller says, Greg, it seems your text comments are all coming from the one side. An organised barrage of texts attacking immigrants. It's poison. Our hospitals and care homes are staffed by amazing, hardworking immigrants. As for Ukraine, Russia is advancing in their country. And yes, it is indeed. And I suppose I do take your point, and we invite all views. And there's no agenda on this show. And I think people who listen to this show regularly would know that. There was a lot of commentary from our three panellists that perhaps were of a different mind to many of our texters. So one, to some extent, would offset the other. But we want to hear from people with all different opinions. On the scooters, bicycles more generally as well. Lifford Castle Finn spent millions on a cycle lane, but no one is using them. That is seemingly an issue there indeed. Right. Okay. Sinn Féin losing support for their not standing up for Irish people. 100 million people on the move, and we can't look after our own, says a listener, or they can't look after their own. Another, mass migration has negatively impacted many countries. Sweden's a huge example of this. Gang crime out there has skyrocketed, and it is not at the hands of the natives. We would be very familiar, though, with gang crime in this country, and I'm not contradicting you, but, you know, sometimes you would think we live in this utopia where no one has ever been in court, or no one has ever committed a crime, or there's never been a gang. But anyway, listen, I do take your point. I'm not contradicting you. I think the fear people feel is there's no control of our borders, especially through Northern Ireland, says Martin. Another, Patricia is right. Donegal's a poor county and people are struggling. It suits the government to divide and rule. It's their modus operandi, believes a listener. And another, stop that name calling, crap about far right, etc., etc. That's Mary Hart's view. You know, I can't, that view is offset by other comments as well. But I take your point as well. Okay, we're going to take the bingo numbers very, very shortly. Just to remind you that you can WhatsApp and text the show 086 60 25,000, 086 60 25,000, or give us a call in 07491 25,000. If you want to email the show, it's comments at highlandradio.com. And my word, you can even watch it, even from Bert here. In other words, even though we're outside of the studio, that's not a criticism of Bert in any way, shape or form. How do you do so? On your big screen TV, your Fire Stick, you go to YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland. If you could give us a subscribe there, by the way, it'd be greatly appreciated. We're also across our Facebook pages, as you know, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport, and on the X platform, broadcasting around the world. And don't forget, by the way, I will be picking up the comments that you're sending us on social media as well. So bear with us on that. Okay, back with more on the 9 till noon show very, very shortly. Okay, you're very welcome back. Now, we welcome on to the program our first couple of guests from the event to which we've been delighted to come. Denise McCool. Denise, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are
good
you,
to
Greg?
Have you on the program. You're much louder off the mic than you are on it. I see you're being all shy on
the
me.
The excitement.
And also with us is Patsy Toland, two of the founders of Changemakers Donegal. Thanks so much for having us here.
Nice to be here.
I suppose too, some of this is actually really not about the work or the ethos or what Changemakers is trying to do. It's actually to let people know about Changemakers, isn't it? Patsy, do you want to talk to us about what Changemakers is?
Yeah, I suppose it comes out of the need for spaces and events that allow people to deal with some of the big issues that are facing them in the world today. You know, people need somewhere where they can express their fears about climate change, their hopes about getting over it. People need spaces for, you know, talking about gender equality and poverty, things that are there, that are facing them, but sometimes they don't have the space, sometimes they don't have the event where these things can be spoken about, or where they can get support, perhaps, to take action. And so Changemakers, I suppose, is about that. It's about, you know, helping, supporting people, training people, running events like today for the many small groups that are around. And it also, it always has a local global connection. So when for example, you have people say who are really interested in their tidy towns, for example, and they're doing sustainability and biodiversity, well, to connect them with the fact that this is a global problem and they are contributing to solving a global problem, it makes people belong to a bigger community rather than just perhaps just the local one as well. So I think maybe the essence of change makers is that, local and global.
Is this, I mean, you will get, I mean, there's the, it goes on different levels, right? You will get people, say, just on the issue of climate change, yeah, they would say, you know, what's the point in Ireland making its changes? Because, you know, you've got US, you know, UK, China, Russia, they don't seem to be taking this seriously. So why should we sacrifice our way of life to save the planet? And then even then, you will, it gets down into the individual household where a person will say, well, what's the point of me doing anything because this country is not doing anything? So are you trying to, are you not convert those people, educate those people, or are you mostly dealing with those that have already, as you would see, got it?
Well, both, because, I mean, if you want to educate people, the best thing is sort of for a peer education. What's happening in your village? What's happening with your neighbours? I know, like, if I'm trying to help people, I'm not going to go out placard carrying. I'm doing it. So I'm planting my garden, I'm planting trees, I'm doing things. So I think it's really important to support people doing, yes, educating people, yes, supporting people. And we all know we're not all going to sit around and wait for a government to make all the decisions. We need to influence. And we've seen over the past that sort of grassroots movements, and grassroots movements in America, grassroots movements across Europe, have changed the way farming, the way food has been grown, the way pesticides are being used. That came from concerned people, not from governments deciding to do it. It's people who will change these things and influence governments. So it's really important to support people who are trying to make the change for a better world.
Denise, sometimes it's hard to sort of figure out what the majority of people want. You know, in this day and age, everyone can have a view and her opinion, and that's fantastic, right? But I'm just wondering, in conversations where you talk about climate change, and there's more to it than that, don't get me wrong, but climate change, immigration, refugees and all that kind of stuff, is that, you know, are those conversations almost being driven underground because they are some of the key elements, say, for instance, of what some might call the culture wars?
Part of what we do is actually we have a conversation series, you know, to get people in the room and having that conversation, because I think what happens is it becomes polarized quite often. I think, I don't know if you heard that conversation recently with Gabor Maté, who talked about that it's not about being pro one thing and anti another, it's about understanding, you know, what are the injustices, and rather than kind of putting people on either side of a debate. So I think part of what we try to do is make sure there's spaces for those conversations to happen. And also, we work at a community level as well as getting individuals to take action. We look at ways that, you know, or I suppose from a community development perspective, it's about working together. It's about giving people that sense that they have some power, that they can change things. That, you know, you see that at a local area level with the DCB crisis in Donegal. That became a community response to a crisis. So we try to link those things.
The greatest advances we've seen on issues, and I'm thinking, you know, access to CDNT, defective concrete, the retention of health services in certain areas, the return of other services. And this is no disrespect to politicians, right? But in my view, it is actually the public that have made those differences, that they have come together. And it's remarkable what a group of individuals can achieve when they come together and organize.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and I could list 6, 7, 8 of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the kind of perspective we come from. It's about that community response, that community engagement and community power, that we have a voice and we're better together.
Is this then... Yeah. Patsy, happening then in a political vacuum? In other words, you know, if we are taking control of this ourselves, is there a sense then that, you know, from the very top down to the very bottom, that maybe, you know, the democratic process and those we elect are failing us? That's a question.
Yes.
I've had enough audio dropouts today without you looking at me. I was thinking, is this guy lagging? No, go on.
No. And I think you're right. I think, I mean, if the government was doing the job it's supposed to do on all the levels we talked about, then people would not need to take action themselves. I mean, we know, say, with the health issues and things like that, like particularly in Donegal, I see just recently, like the cancer care looking for volunteer drivers to take people to Dublin and to take people to Galway. I mean, why is that happening? Why do we have to do that? Because the community knows that the health service is failing us there, and we need to take action. So we'll do it ourselves.
Add to that, if you do not mind, we have numerous services in this country. In this county and this country, that provide services, be it to people with autism, people with cancer, whatever it is, mental health. They are referred to by the HSE, but receive no funding from the HSE. I mean, that is really quite remarkable. If you know, and if it wasn't those that are affected by it going out of the way to provide these services, you could argue they would never happen. One of the greatest challenges I think we face, not just in this country, across the world, though, is, Denise, lobbying, lobby groups, vested interests. Do you know what I mean? Big business, what have you. Even in terms of the latest legislation passed in Europe to protect our young people from online influences and what have you, that was a robust piece of a proposal. But because of lobbying from big tech, it's been watered down to light touch regulation that people feel can't actually really even be implemented. You know, who's running everything? You do wonder. That will sound like a conspiracy, but do you understand where I'm coming from? You know what I mean? Because money's driving so much, wars as well. You know, you could throw that in there too if you wished.
Yeah. And I think even, you know, recently the rights of nature, you know, as well, that debate and getting that through European legislation as well. I mean, all these things get slightly watered down, but I think it's just to keep pushing and knowing that we have, you know, we're not about putting it all back on the individual or the community. We also see the need to, you know, either collaborate with or challenge where the gaps are. So we don't want it to feel like it's the ownership belongs to the community. The ownership is around how you can influence that change, you know. Yeah. So it's about that combination.
But Denise, how do people get into that room, right? Because, you know, change makers Donegal might seem a little bit niche, right? But that place is packed. So who are you engaging with? Who are you reaching out to? And is it possible that the general population listening might think that they're excluded from this?
Well, I mean, when we set this up many years ago, over 12 years ago now, Changemakers, the whole point was to get to those who are not in the room, so to speak. So we see that today. There's a very diverse group of people in that room today, and it's really, there's a great buzz, there's a great atmosphere. So we work at many different levels. We work with community groups through our Seeds of Change model. We work with individuals who just want to come and learn a little bit more about what's going on in the world, how to look at social justice and human rights issues. So we want to make the door very open and accessible to people. So it's a very broad church of people in there, and that's what's great. And we also want to bring in the statutory bodies, the decision makers. We really wanted to work at all levels of society, that it's not seen as just being for a group. And certainly we do not want to be preaching to the converted.
That's I get you. How do you manage the success, though, Patsy? Because, you know, a lot of things I avoid in life is because I don't know where to start. You know what I mean? Like, you don't paint the exterior of your house because you start at the corner, and after a day you don't really have much done, and then you just pack it in, right? So how do you keep going? How do you measure the success? Because, you know, this is about making changes at a small level, I presume, at an individual level, group level, and hoping that it feeds up, right? But it could be quite easy to give in and say, well, you know, what we're doing really fundamentally is not making any difference. I'm not saying that's the case, right? But how do you sort of perhaps fight that emotion?
Well, I think it is just working at that individual and community level and seeing the success that people have within their own community. I mean, I'll give you an example. This time last year, we had the beginnings of a community garden in Clonmany that didn't exist before. That's there now for people to come and learn and share about organic food that doesn't use pesticides, that doesn't use artificial anything at all.
And we that's there. And also, we are in that is, comment is being made as we sit in one of the counties that uses the highest level of pesticides.
Yep. And again,
so what you're doing in that, right? I'm not saying it's not worth doing, but it's almost counterbalanced by a massive factor of the council spraying this crap all over the sides of our roads and up the middle of the roads and every other place.
Yes, yes. And until the sort of concerned people like ourselves, for example, and many other community gardens and tidy towns groups who actually say, we're planting wildflower meadows, we're putting up bee hotels, we don't need this, we want this to stop. And it does stop. I mean, again, it's only through those sort of incremental examples that people will begin to realize that, you know, maybe this pesticide stuff, maybe this glyphosate and Roundup is not what to do. And there are better and simpler ways to do it.
Denise, how do I step out of myself? How do I step out of self and care? If you know what I mean, because it's funny, in the first hour, I was making the point that everything's humanly, right, comes down to the me, do you know what I mean? I know there's people going through a really tough time in a different country, but maybe they should go somewhere else because it could have a negative impact on me. Do you get me? Now, I'm not being pro or anti anything. I'm just saying, you know, there are some people that can think of the bigger picture, and then there's some of us then that sort of think very, you know, introvertly, or how's everything affecting me as an individual?
Well, I think some of it's around empathy, you know what I mean? Basic empathy for each other, you know, and I think when we were doing work here with the DCB, with the community, it was the Ukrainian, excuse me, our Ukrainian community came to one of our meetings and presented a check that they'd fundraised money locally for the DCB crisis, because they recognise that. So I think that's
just
joint
the defective concrete block crisis, by the way, just so everyone knows. I know people know, but
yeah, but I suppose that's just an example. But I'm talking about, that was also, you know, a community who came here facing war themselves at home, and I think it's important that we do connect that local and get out of self, you know, and that sense of hope. I think that's really important for us, is about people seeing that there is, it's worthwhile doing this.
John, we were talking there, I was thinking of examples of where the public themselves have made a change and continue to try to. And is there any better example than the defective concrete block campaign, if the truth be told, right?
Yeah. And Inishowen Rivers Trust, for example, do a lot of work around nature-based solutions, and they've started to work with the council. So I think we need to hear the good news stories. Yeah. We hear so many bad news stories that is sometimes...
What's happening in there, Patsy? Because I'm hearing occasional applause. What's going on in there?
What we have a number of speakers. You know, we have a number of well, for example, we have someone coming in from Throkra, from Africa, who are going to from Malawi, who are going to talk to us about the situation there and the impact of climate change and why it matters, you know, to make it to make
Yeah, because the biggest cohort of migrants into the future, if it's not, we're not there already, it's actually going to be climate, because of climate. Because parts
absolutely
of the
climate migration is going to be a huge problem into the future, and we have to realise that. And then again,
and then flooding locally is part of that as well, you know, so joining those dots.
People realising that this is happening, you know, and you know, we can reiterate again, you know, Irish people have a history from the famine and beyond that, of going somewhere else, setting up somewhere else, being accepted and being influential and changing things. You talk about America, talk now about Australia. We are welcome anywhere, and the same welcome has to be reciprocated. We have got to look at the same thing and say, we can offer the same. People are not coming here because they want to leave their homes. They're coming here because they have to. Whether it's climate action, whether it's war, whether it's insecurity, they're not here by choice. They're here because they have to come, and we need to have that welcome out.
And what percentage are here because they have to come, and what percentage are here because of money and just wanting a better life? Like, I'm not asking for an actual breakdown, right? But the perception is amongst a lot of people that the majority are coming here as welfare.
Okay, well, I suppose, I mean, yeah, I could say how many Irish people are in Australia for the good of the sunshine? They're not. They're there because they want a better life and they want to work. So if you're faced with the fact of you have to leave, you know, an insecure country, you have to leave, you know, a climate impacted country where you can't grow your food, where your way of life has been destructed, you'll want to go somewhere where they think there is hope. And one of the key message in there today is hope.
Yeah.
What are we hoping for? What's the act of hope? What's the thing we're doing that's going to give us hope to face into the future?
Understand, you know, within that room today, there's a lot of our migrant community who want to give back, who recognise how welcoming Inishowen has been, and Donegal has been, and Ireland has been. So I think it's just to find ways to ensure that those...
Speaking to a lot of the Ukrainian community, those who currently aren't working... the biggest barrier to work is language, and they're saying, well, why aren't we doing more you know, English language classes to give people an opportunity to work.
There's a lot of that going on. Yeah. I suppose it's just the scale of it has been, you know, the biggest challenge. You know, the ETB have run a huge amount of classes. There's informal classes and
it's tough,
mentoring.
Isn't it? Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah,
there's
a lot.
We have to remember that's a sort of global problem because, I mean, the Irish go to Australia because they speak English. The Irish go to America because they speak English. The Irish go to England because they speak English. You don't get the same move of Irish people to Argentina or to Brazil around because language is a big issue. Language and the culture it carries and all the rest is really
from
important.
My time, I used to live in the States, and I worked with the Irish Immigration Centre, and a big cohort of who we supported in that work was illegal Irish immigrants living in the US.
It used to be the big story. What was the figure? 50, 60,000? Most of them from the Northwest living illegal, and the big campaign was there. And you don't hear about that anymore. I mean, I think that at least one election was pretty much run on that in this part of the world, if I remember correctly. Right, okay, listen, you still have a lot to do. I don't want to take you from it for too much longer. It's been lovely speaking to the both of you. Your message will land with some. For others, they're just not there yet. But we keep talking, don't we? That's the thing, you know. I just would love us to be able to converse, and maybe at some point there can be a meeting of minds. And there often is, but sometimes
but it is happening. Is the thing. Okay. It's not. This is the meeting of minds. This is the meeting of migrant people. This is the meeting of local Donegal people. This is the people of movers and shakers. It's people who, if you go on, there's a lot of people with dirt under their fingernails from their gardening this morning and things like that. This is it. It's happening.
Listen. And it's also just to say that, you know, none of us have all the answers, but I think if we can get spaces where people who don't agree can come together, because I think if we're only speaking to people who think like us.
That was my point, whereby, because we are we're siloed or we're in echo chambers.
Yes, we don't want that.
I don't want to be in one. Yeah. I want someone to have a different point of view to me. Yeah. And I do actually in my life, by the way. That's the one thing about my social media. You will get people with all different views.
Yes.
And I love that. But a lot of people have found themselves in echo chambers, which is...
Think it's great. Having you here today means that it is a conversation with the whole of Donegal and the whole of the Northwest.
We keep having it. It's a tough conversation. It's driven by listeners, but there's lots of issues there. And and they seem to have fallen down on left and right. I don't really subscribe to that language. I don't think it's helpful or useful. But anyway, Denise McCool, Patsy Toland, two of the founders of Changemakers Donegal. We'll hear much more over the course of the next hour or so. Thanks so much for calling into my studio here at your event.
Lovely studio.
Thank you. Thanks very much indeed. All right, it is the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. Keep your calls and comments coming into us, of course. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. Okay, you're tuned to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Just to remind you that, of course, we are heading into election season. And I note, actually, quite interestingly, and I don't know how they do it or, for that matter, why they do it, but debates started ahead of the European elections on TV last night, and they had a handful of candidates in, and then a whole host of candidates that weren't invited. I don't know how that works, and I don't think it's very good for any media organisation to do that, personally speaking. But anyway, we've invited everyone. We threw the kitchen sink at it to give everyone an opportunity to have their say here, and it's very important to me and us here at Highland Radio to do so. So we've 75-odd local election candidates. We'll be hosting a series of debates starting on Monday from 10 o'clock, just after 10 o'clock on the 9 till noon show. And then we also have a series of European election debates. They're going to be sort of online exclusives, if I could put it like that. They'll be broadcast across our social media where you can listen and watch. That's going to be shortly after 12 for the 5 days of next week. And the local election debates run over 10 days. Okay, so everyone will be invited to have their say, and just a couple have indicated at this stage, or one has indicated at this stage, that they're not going to be attending. Almost could do a text competition on that. Can you guess? But anyway, I don't know who it is. I've just been told it's one. Myra McAuliffe is Project Coordinator at Changemakers Donegal at Inishowen Development Partnership. Thanks for joining us, Myra.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for being here.
No, it's good to be here. Right, so talk to me about the work that's been happening over the last 12 years. We have touched on it with our first two guests, but I suppose that it was more of an overview of the sort of the ethos and the overall. I'm kind of interested in what work has been done over the last 12 years.
Hmm. So over the last 12 years, you know, we've grown and developed the programme. There are a number of different strands in the programme. And for example, one core piece is we do accredited courses. So we do often do a 9-week course in intercultural studies. We also offer a 9-week course in global citizenship. So that's, you know, quite structured learning. It's usually at level 5 or level 6, and people gain a certificate as a result of doing it. But we're also really interested in kind of informal learning, you know, that's really accessible. So we're well known for our work in delivering workshops about global themes. We've concentrated on issues like food and climate change, anything that's related to a global issue. Another thing that we're known for, in the last 3 years, we've developed a new film club, which is funded by Concern Worldwide, at which we show documentary films. And we're also known for what's called our Bookless Book Club series. So that was initiated back in 2020 as a result of the Black Lives Matter movement. And most recently, in the year gone by that we're reflecting on here today, we did a Bookless Book Club called Hate, Hope and Stepping Up to encourage people to take action. But the idea with the book club is there are actually no books. We use art and music and poetry and film. Another thing that we have a reputation for is leading community discussions on global issues. And we've done some conversations on climate justice. And most recently, we did one called Conversation Towards Action about Gaza and Palestine. And we collaborated with the Inishowen Palestine Solidarity Group on that. So we do a lot of different things, but the key is that it's for adults in Donegal. And we try to go about it in a very accessible way so that it's easy for people to engage in lifelong learning.
And how do you fund this? Where do you get your supports from?
So our principal funder is Irish Aid. So it's really, you know, it's really positive that Irish Aid funds something like this in Donegal. We're quite unique as a community project. It doesn't exist in other counties in the way it does here, and I'm sure Denise and Patsy gave you a sense of the origins of it.
Yeah.
We also have partners like Donegal ETB that contribute funding, and also our partners Trocara and Concern. Concern funds our film club, for example, and Trocara makes a financial donation, but also we have steering committee members from those partner organisations. So that's kind of the makeup of it. And then obviously we're located in IDB. And with peace funding coming up, we may be looking to pursue some cross-border collaborations as well.
And you talk about the accredited learning.
Yeah.
What are people using that accreditation for, if you found? Is it literally just to learn and grow and have a document to mark that achievement? Or is it opening up opportunities?
Yeah, no, it's certainly opening opportunities, I think. You know, for example, on the stage right now, we have a panel of local change makers talking about what they've done with us. And Olita, who took part in our intercultural studies course, has just explained to our seminar audience that she did our intercultural studies course and then went on to pursue a working role with Donegal Intercultural Platform. And she's been able to draw on the insight she gained at the course. Another of our panellists who's on stage right now is Leanne, and she's actually a creative associate with the Arts Council of Ireland and is doing a lot of work in the community with the Ukrainian community. So she has found that has really helped her bring her perspective. I actually did the course myself to inform my own work, and I got a lot out of it personally, because I think, you know, when you work in lifelong learning, you know yourself the value of, you know, continuing to learn and grow and maybe not plateauing at a certain point.
Yeah, indeed. I agree with you 100%. Listen, it's been lovely speaking to you. We've got loads of guests to get to as well. But for now, Myra, thank you so very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, that's Myra McAuliffe there, Project Coordinator at Changemakers Donegal at Inishowen Development Partnership. Some comments coming into us this morning so far. Hi, Greg. Regarding the comment from a listener stating that all the messages are one-sided on the asylum seekers issue, in my experience, your show has always been balanced to the point that you at times make the opposing points playing devil's advocate. The fact that so many messages are stating concerns regarding immigration policy and the neglect of citizens proves that this is the opinion of the majority of listeners. One of your panelists stated the majority of people she speaks to are happy to welcome more migrants. Perhaps she needs to step outside the bubble that she is in. And I appreciate you recognising the efforts we go to give as many people as possible a voice, and to be fair, obviously, to everyone. Should the climate stay the same forever? No, it never has. It's forever changing. The government stealing our money by taxing everything will not change the weather. There's bigger fish at play here. Well, climate is not the weather. The weather is the weather. And, you know, the science there, and maybe you have a complete and utter distrust of science as well, but the science is there that points to the fact that things are changing since industrialization at a rate that wouldn't have been witnessed previously. But listen, if that's the way you want to live your life, that's for you too. Hi, Greg. Just on the point raised by your guest about Tidy Towns committees trying to have the council stop spraying pesticide, I was responsible for running a campaign to promote the adoption of a pollinator plan in Donegal. I drafted the motion put forward by Albert Doherty, which was unanimously accepted by the councillors. This means that councillors have decided that the use of pesticides, particularly glyphosate, I'm not even going to try, I know it, but I'm not going to go at it again, is to be banned from use in public lands in Donegal. Now, there's two things going on here. Obviously, there's motions which are passed, and then there are executive decisions. So, unfortunately, or fortunately, some might say, just because a motion is passed doesn't mean it's acted. And this listener points to that. They say, the council executive has refused to implement the plan despite it being cost neutral. The council executive does not apply the democratic decisions made by the council. Oh, that's their executive decisions. But I take your point. People should forget, shouldn't forget that they are the ones that have the power. We just hand it over to government, hoping they'll do the best for us. But sadly, they don't. We have our chance to get them to listen to us now when they are asking for their jobs. The government should listen to the people. But who are you going to vote for? It'll be interesting. Will there be a big change? We don't know. But we shall watch with interest, and you will hear every second of it live here on Highland Radio. Okay, the weather forecast. Any mist or fog patches should have cleared at this stage to leave a day with a mix of cloud and sunny spells, largely dry. There's a chance of a few heavy showers developing during the afternoon. I have a sense that's further east of the north. That's towards evening anyway. Temperatures of 17 to 20 degrees. Okay, you are tuned to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. We are broadcasting live from Burt. We are being hosted by the beautiful On Green and Hotel here in Burt. And it's part of the Changemakers Donegal seminar, which is ongoing at the moment. We have two guests to say hello to now. They are Hugh Bergen, Development Education Facilitator with Self Help Africa. Is it Bergen?
Bergen.
I was right the first time. Roisin O'Hara, Outreach Manager for Trokra Northern Ireland with us. I think I've had too much coffee. Roisin is the Outreach Manager for Trokra Northern Ireland. Thank you so much for joining us. It's lovely to have you with us. Hugh, talk to us about the work that you do as Development Education Facilitator with Self Help Africa.
Well, Self Help Africa is an NGO. We're based in Dublin, although we do most of our work in sub-Saharan Africa, poorer farming communities there. But I do my work is in schools here in Ireland. We used to call it development education. I think it's more being called global citizenship education. Now, basically, what we're looking at is the bigger global issues that affect us all. And so I go into schools, do workshops, raise the questions.
And what are the key questions here?
We're talking about things like how do our lifestyles here in Ireland, our decisions, how we live our lives, how might they impact people in other parts of the world?
Can I just make a point on that, if you don't mind, Hugh? Because, you know, obviously, a lot of the conversations now come round to the movement of people. And one of the greatest, as we've already heard this morning, one of the greatest triggers for the movement of people is going to be climate, people finding it difficult to be where they live, war, and also perhaps the inability to, you know, feed oneself. So in a way, people educating and educating themselves, you could argue, and buying into what you're saying really also perhaps facilitates people to stay primarily where they want to stay. And that's probably in their own areas. Do you get the point I'm making?
I kind of get the point you're making. And if it's to do with that local global connection that we're hearing more and more about, I think more and more people are realizing that decisions that they make.
Well, let me try and be more clearly.
Yeah. Right?
So in the West, generally speaking, we live our lives the way we do. We affect the climate. it makes it very difficult to live in other parts of the world. The people in that part of the world have to flee. Where do they go? To the West, and then the West is angry that they left.
That's very succinctly put.
Do you know what I mean? That's
absolutely
what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I can't put it any better than that, than you put it. It's difficult for us, I suppose, to live our lives thinking of that big global connection, as you put it. But it's exactly what it is. The people in the West, or the global North, as it's sometimes called, the wealthier countries. We're doing very well. We're very comfortable. We're living from the benefits of industrialization. However, we're now discovering that one of the costs of that is climate, is damage to the climate. And those countries in poorer parts of the world that had little to do with contributing to climate change, as we know now, are suffering the most from the effects.
And we also know that whilst the West or the leaders of the world actually concede that is the case, they're very slow to put their hands into the pocket to sort of compensate those areas.
I think there's growing realization that, whoa, hold on a minute.
Baby steps up until now.
Yeah, we can. But,
I mean, at the end of the day, right, everyone sort of around this table will be luckier, I think, if we all get another 40 years, right? I hope I'm not being crude in relation to that. But you're speaking to people in school. You're speaking to the next generation and the generation after that. How is the message received there?
That's an interesting question. I'm noticing, particularly in the last 5 years, there's more and more, I suppose, anxiety with students. Generally, I'm talking to 15, 16-year-olds. They're, you know, at this age group, students are getting an appreciation of the world that they're about to step into as adults. And it's not looking so rosy. And I mean, there's a lot of scare stories about climate that are affecting them. Anxiety levels are really high. And they're worried. They're worried. So what can I do about it? And one of the main things that I do in these workshops is to try and encourage action. Action. What can we do? Because action actually does increase hope. If people feel that they can do something, no matter how small, in their own lives or in their community, things are, okay, now things are beginning to change. We don't know how big, what kind of scale they are, but things are beginning to change. And that leads to hope.
Yeah, I just feel sometimes that we are not just battling the change, we're battling the people that make the decisions that perhaps are driving the negative change, if you know what I mean. That the views of the people, and this is not really a political view, it's almost an observation, and it's not just here, it's everywhere, that the views of the people don't necessarily be reflected in the decisions made by those they elect.
It's a difficult one, and it's not one I'm going to speak to, but really what you're identifying is politicians need to be elected. They want to say what people want to hear to be elected. The difficulty is, and this is where we come in, we need to put the pressure on the politicians, get them to listen to our concerns, so the decisions will be made that will lead to a healthier future.
All right, thanks for that, Hugh. Roisin, Outreach Manager for TROCRA Northern Ireland. What work is TROCRA doing around the world at the moment? And good morning to you, of course,
good
first
morning,
and foremost.
Good morning, Greg. TROCRA works in over 20 countries worldwide, and we work on a range of areas. I suppose your listeners might know us best for the TROCRA box over Lent. This year, that Lenten appeal focused on Malawi and particularly the issue of access to water. So, you know, Malawi is a country where over half the population live in poverty. Millions of people there don't have direct access to clean water. And actually, that difficulty is actually being exacerbated by climate change. So climate change there is bringing extremes of weather in the form of floods and droughts. And that's making it really, really difficult for people, rural farmers, to actually grow crops and to make a living. So climate change obviously is one of the big issues that
and the thing
on.
We have here is where we live at the moment, and will be quite attractive actually to people fleeing other areas where there is severe climate changes. Bit wetter winters, you know, bit wetter summers, slight variations in the temperature, possibly rising seas. But, you know, the truth is we probably don't see, like obviously other places in the world, the actual effects of climate change. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can sort of make the argument, oh, well, there's always been a summer where it's rained a lot, but there's parts of the world whereby the climate is drastically different.
Yeah. So, for example, Malawi, you know, cyclones in Malawi would have been a rarity. They have now had three in the past 5 years. The last one, Cyclone Freddy in 2023, absolutely decimated the country, devastated crops, you know, killed over 1,000 people. So, the people who are living in the most vulnerable of situations are being most affected by the impacts of climate change, even though, as Hugh says, they're the people who have done the least to cause it. But one of the things, you know, in terms of that movement of people, people move to the closest place to their home first to find safety, and then they keep moving until they're finding a safe place. So, for example, at the moment in Sudan, you know, there's a conflict in Sudan that's a year old at this stage, and we're seeing the largest displacement of people in recent history. 8.5 million people have been forced to flee their homes. Now, they're fleeing to within Sudan first because they want to stay close to what they know and want to stay close to their home. But, you know, we have a crisis there that is, a huge humanitarian crisis where access to aid is very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. And we have millions of people there on the brink of, you know, acute hunger and malnutrition.
Hugh mentioned three letters there a little earlier on. That it's like landlords. It's almost become a dirty word, an NGO. It's used as a moniker almost to criticise an organisation. Is it getting more difficult to get a message across or get through to people when they see NGOs or organisations as, you know, some listening might say, well, you would say that, Roisin, because you're peddling a global agenda here. Is that something that is actually a thing that you have to fight or combat now?
I think that's where the development education piece of work is really important. Mm-hmm. And for Trokra, that development education is central to what Trokra does as well. So, you know, we have that dual mandate of working in the field to try and combat poverty, human rights abuses, injustices. But we do have a role here to educate people as to the reasons for that poverty and injustice. Because we see that most of, you know, the reasons are structural. They're about processes and policies that the global north is implementing. Yeah. You know, particularly you mentioned, you know, climate change and obviously its practices here, the practices of fossil fuel companies here, that is driving climate change. So we do have that piece of development education, which is really about helping people to understand the underlying causes.
And you know,
of
the
poverty.
Funny thing about that, and apologies, we'll go to the news just a couple of minutes later if you don't mind. We have the defective concrete block crisis here and a crisis in the local hospital. And we accept that the only way we can really perhaps get change is that if the decision makers in Dublin actually come up and see firsthand for themselves. And I think that's kind of a little bit of a challenge in trying to get the message across in that, you know, you have seen yourself or you understand exactly what's happening in Sudan or the Gaza situation or what's happening in much of Ukraine, right?